Treasure Island by Robert Louis Stevenson, retold by Angela Wilkes, and recorded by Andy French. Long ago, a boy named Jim Hawkins lived alone with his mother on a wild stretch of the English coast. She kept the Admiral Benbow Inn. One windy day, a sea captain came up the road, singing a shanty. 15 men on the dead man's chest, yo-ho-ho and a bottle of rum, arr. He stopped at the inn. Many people in here? He asked. Jim shook his head. Then this is the place for me, said the captain. He gave Jim a silver coin. I'll give you a coin every month if you keep a sharp lookout for a sailor with one leg, he said. The captain's name was Billy Bones. He soon became well known at the inn for dreadful stories he told about wicked pirates. He stayed at the inn for a month after month, but never paid Jim's mother any money. She was too scared of him to ask for it. One winter's morning, when Billy Bones was out, a stranger came to the inn. "Is there a captain staying here?" he asked. Suddenly, he saw Billy Bones coming along the road. He pushed Jim into the inn and dragged him behind a door. "Keep quiet," he hissed. Jim was very scared. Billy Bones came in and walked across the room. "Good day to you, Captain," growled the stranger. Billy Bones span round. His face went pale as he looked as if he had seen a ghost. "You remember me, don't you?" asked the stranger. "You are Black Dog," gasped Billy Bones. "Yes," said the stranger. "We have business to discuss." They sent Jim for some rum. Suddenly, Jim heard shouts and the sounds of chairs being knocked over. He ran back into the room. The men were drawing their swords. Billy Bones lunged at Black Dog and then chased him out of the inn. Black Dog fled, blood pouring from a wound in his shoulder. Suddenly, Billy Bones gasped and clutched his chest. He was having a heart attack. He fell to the ground and Jim ran to help him. Bones had to stay in bed after his attack. He called Jim. "You must help me," he whispered. "Captain Flint's pirates are after me. They want something I've hidden in my seaman's chest. If ever you see any strangers around, you must call the law at once." Time went by and Jim saw no suspicious strangers. Then one cold, foggy day, he saw a hunched old man coming slowly up the road. The man was blind and tapped the road with a stick. When he reached the inn, he stopped and called out,
"Where am I?"
"At the Admiral Benbow Inn," said Jim. The blind man grabbed his hand.
"Take me to Billy Bones," he hissed fiercely.
Frightened, Jim led him inside.
"Here's a friend coming to see you, Captain Bones," he said.
Billy Bones looked up in terror.
"Hold out your hand," said the blind man.
He hobbled up to the captain, pressed a note into his hand, and hurried out of the inn. Bones read the note. "The pirates are coming at 10, he said. He jumped up, but suddenly gasped and fell down. He was dead. Jim and his mother were scared about the pirates coming to the inn, but Jim's mother wanted to find out about Billy Bones' money. They ran to the village to ask for help, but everyone was too scared of pirates to go back to the Admiral Benbow with them. So Jim and his mother crept home on their own. When they had reached the inn, they rushed inside and locked all the doors and windows. Then they looked round for Billy Bones' money. Jim found a neck, a key round Bones' neck. "This could be the key to the chest in his room," he said. He and his mother ran upstairs to Bones' room. The key fitted the chest, so they quickly unlocked it and threw open the lid. The chest was full of old things, clothes, trinkets and pistols. Underneath, Jim found a packet of papers and a heavy bag. The bag was full of money.
"I think I'll take what I'm owed," said Jim's mother,
and they began to count the coins. Suddenly, they stopped. Someone was rattling the door of the inn. and they heard the blind man's stick tap down the road. "Quick," said Jim, "we must go." They took the money and papers and fled from the inn. Then Jim heard people coming. He pulled his mother into a hiding place. A band of men broke down the door of the inn. As they ran through the house, Jim heard shouts of, "Bones is dead!" and "Find his chest!" Suddenly the blind man threw open the window of Billy Bones' room. "The papers have gone!" he shrieked. "Find the boy!" The pirates searched the whole inn for Jim, then met outside. Suddenly they heard the whistle. "The warning!" one of them cried, and they raced towards the cliffs. A group of soldiers galloped over the hill. They had heard that Jim and his mother were in danger. The pirates ran to a cove where a boat was waiting. The soldiers chased after them, but they were too late. The pirates had escaped. "Those pirates were looking for this packet of papers," Jim told the captain of the soldiers. "We should take it to Squire Trelawney." The captain took Jim to the hall, where Squire Trelawney was dining with Dr. Livesey. They were very surprised to hear Jim's story. Dr. Livesey opened a packet. In it was a map of an island. Next to a cross on it was written, "Most of the treasure here." "Well, I say, this shows where Captain Flint's treasure is buried," he said. "No wonder Flint's crew were after Billy Bones. They wanted this map." The squire was excited. "I say, I'll find a ship and crew, and we will sail to the island," he said. "But we mustn't tell anyone about this treasure." On the back of the map was more writing. He heard gunfire and saw the Jolly Roger, the pirate's flag, flying from the mast. Then he saw the captain's flag hoisted over its stockade and knew his friends were there. He crept through the woods and scrubbed North Inlet Cape, bearing E and quarter N. A month later, Jim and his said goodbye to his mother and left the inn. He went to Bristol and met Squire Trelawney at the harbour. "There's our ship," said the squire, pointing. "She's called the Hispaniola. I've picked a good crew for her, and we will set sail tomorrow." Jim had to take a message to the landlord of a nearby inn. He was called Long John Silver, and he was to be the ship's cook. Long John was friendly, but Jim saw that he only had one leg. "Bones told me about him," he thought, "but he's too nice to be a pirate." Jim went back to the squire and found Dr. Livesey with him. They rowed out to Hispaniola. They were very excited about the voyage. On board, they met Captain Smollett, the ship's captain. "I thought everything about this voyage was about to be kept secret," he said angrily. "Now I find that all the crew know exactly where we are going and that you are after Flint's treasure. I don't trust any of them." The squire and Dr. Livesey were worried to hear this, but it was too late to find a new crew. The next day, the Hispaniola set sail. Jim soon became friends with Long John. Long John had a parrot he called Captain Flint, after the famous pirate who had died. One night, Jim went on deck and climbed into a barrel to fetch an apple. Suddenly, he heard men near him talking very quietly. It was Long John whispering to a sailor. "I was Captain Flint's right-hand man," he said. "All of his crew were afraid of me." "Join us, pirates," he went on. "We may live roughly and risk hanging, but we make lots of money. One day, we will all be rich." "This voyage seems much more exciting now," said the sailor. "I'll join you." Little Long John laughed wickedly and they shook hands on it. Jim was horrified. Captain Smollett had been right not to trust the crew. They were plotting in mutiny. How many of them were pirates? A third man came along. It was Long John's friend, Israel Hands. "How long have we got to wait before we strike?" he grumbled. "We'll wait until we have the treasure," said Long John, "and then we'll kill the captain and all the loyal members of his crew." Just then, the moon rose and there was a cry of, "Land ahoy!" Everyone rushed to the deck. An island loomed into the distance. "Have any of you been here before?" said the captain. "I want to know a safe place to anchor." "I've been here, sir," said Long John. The captain showed them a chart. Long John looked at it eagerly, but the treasure was not marked on it. He pointed to an inlet. While the crew were busy, Jim went up to the doctor. "I must talk to you in private," he whispered. I have some terrible news." The doctor hurried away. A few minutes later, Jim was called to the captain's cabin. He told his friends what he had heard. It's too late now to turn back, said the captain. We must find out how many men are on our side and be ready for trouble. The next morning, Hispaniola anchored at a wooded inlet. It was very hot and the island looked gloomy and forbidding. The men had to work hard all day and were grumbling. Long John looked worried. Captain Smollett was afraid that the crew would rebel. He called them together. It's been a hot day and you are tired, he said. You can take the afternoon off and go ashore. The men cheered and ran to the boats. Jim decided he wanted to go ashore too. When no one was looking, he slipped into one of the boats. Jim's boat was the first to reach the island and Jim jumped ashore. Long John called out after him, but Jim pretended not to hear and ran into the trees. He was exploring the island when he heard footsteps. He hid behind a bush and peered out into a clearing. Long John was talking to one of the sailors. "Join us, pirates," he hissed. The sailor shook his head. Suddenly they heard a scream. It was as if someone was being killed. The sailor jumped. "So now you are murdering people now," he said. "Well, I dare you to kill me." Bravely he turned to walk away. Long John whipped the crutch from under his arm and hurled it at the sailor. It hit him so hard he fell down dead instantly. Jim was terrified. He did not wait to see what would happen next, but ran as fast as he could from the scene of the murder. Jim ran for a long time. Then a sudden noise made him stop. He looked round and saw a shadowy figure dodge behind a tree. Jim's heart jumped. What was following him? Was it a man or a bear? He felt in his pocket for a gun and crept towards the tree. Suddenly, a wild man stepped out and knelt down. "Don't shoot! I'm poor Ben Gunn," he said. "I haven't spoken to a soul for 3 years. My pirate friends left me here to die," he went on. "But I'm still alive and now I'm rich. What are you doing here?" he asked Jim. Jim told him what had happened. "Tell the squire I can help him and make him rich if he dares to help me escape from here," said Ben. Just then they heard the sound of a cannon. "I must go back," said Jim. He and Ben ran to where the ship was anchored. Meanwhile, back on the ship, a doctor found Jim was missing and was worried. He rowed ashore with one of the men to look for him. Not far inland, they came to a stockade, a log house surrounded by a strong fence. The house was on a hill and could easily be defended. Suddenly, they too heard the scream. "The trouble has begun," said the doctor. "We must fetch the others and barricade ourselves in here." They returned to the ship and loaded a boat with guns. They set off for the shore, but the boat was overloaded and began to sink. There were some pirates left on the ship, and they loaded the cannon. The squire shot at them and they fired the cannon. The squire's men reached the shore safely and ran for the stockade. Long John's men on the island heard them firing and chased after them. As Jim ran to the ship, he heard gunfire and saw the Jolly Roger, the pirate's flag, flying from the mast. Then he saw the captain's flag hoisted over the stockade and knew his friends were there. He crept through the woods and scrambled over a fence. The doctor and the squire were pleased to see him. Jim told them about Long John killing the sailor and about meeting Ben Gunn. Jim's friends looked grim. They did not have many guns. They decided to stay in the stockade for the night and fight the pirates. Next day, there was a cry of, "Flag of truce!" To everyone's surprise, Long John was hobbling up the hill, waving a white flag. "I'll make a deal," he told the captain. "Give us the chart and stop shooting, and we'll let you on the ship and take you to a port." "I'll say I'll not bargain," said the captain. "Surrender, and I'll take you home to a fair trial. Otherwise, we fight on." Silver limped angrily away. When he had gone, the captain gave orders to prepare to fight. The men took up positions and waited. It was a very hot day. Suddenly, shots rang out, and a band of pirates ran out of the woods towards the stockade. As they swarmed over the fence, the squire's men opened fire. In the fierce battle that followed, both pirates and loyal sailors were killed. Suddenly the fighting was over and the last pirates fled into the woods. The squire walked round inside the stockade. 5 pirates and 2 of his men had been killed, and Captain Smollett was badly injured. Dr. Livesey bound the captain's wounds. Then he took the chart and went into the woods. "He's gone to find Ben," thought Jim. Jim could not bear the sight of the dead and wounded. When no one was looking, he took two pistols and slipped away into the woods. He wanted to look for the boat that Ben Gunn had built, and walked quietly down to the shore and saw Long John rowing away from the ship. He crept along the beach until he had found a big white rock Ben had told him about. Hidden beneath it was a small goatskin tent. Jim lifted a corner of the tent and found Ben Gunn's boat there. It was a coracle, a round boat made of thick sticks and goatskins. Now Jim had a new idea. He decided to paddle out to the ship and cut it adrift. He lifted the coracle and took it down to the water. He launched it into the waves and got in, but found it hard to steer. When he tried to paddle, the boat just span round and round. But luckily, the tide swept the coracle towards the Hispaniola. Soon Jim saw it looming up to the dark, out of the darkness in front of him. Jim came alongside the ship and caught hold of the anchor rope. Slowly, he cut through it. Suddenly, he heard shouting on board. He lifted himself up through the porthole and looked inside. Israel Hands and another of the pirates were struggling in a terrible fight. The ship began to turn, and Jim dropped back into the coracle. He was very tired and fell asleep as the coracle drifted out to sea. When Jim woke up, he felt hot and dazed. It was already day, and the coracle was tossing on the waves off the coast of the island. There was a line of jagged rocks between Jim and the beach, so he paddled on, hoping to land his boat further along the coast. Suddenly, right in front of him, Jim saw the Hispaniola skimming across the waves. All at once, she turned and her sails went slack. No one seemed to be steering her. Jim wondered where the sailors were and paddled towards the ship, hoping to board her and take her over. Again, the ship turned and headed straight for him. Just as the ship crushed the tiny boat, Jim sprang up and caught hold of the boom. He swung himself onto the ship and looked around. To his horror, he saw two sailors lying in pools of blood on the deck. One sailor was dead. The other one groaned and Jim ran to his side. It was Israel Hands. "What are you doing here?" he muttered. "I'm taking command of the ship and sailing her to the captain," said Jim. "Give me food and drink and I'll help you." Actually, it was Hands who said this. "Give me food and drink and I'll help you," said Hands slyly. Jim took down the Jolly Roger and threw it overboard. Then he bandaged Hands' wounds and they sailed for the northern inlet. When they had got there, they had to wait for a while for the tide to turn. "Will you go below and fetch me some wine?" asked Hands craftily. Jim did not trust Hands. He went below, ran for the far end of the ship and looked out. He saw Hands crawl across the deck to some rope and take out a long, rusty dagger. Hands felt his blade and then hid under his jacket and crawled back to his place. Jim had seen enough. He took Hans some wine, and Hans swigged it down, pretending to be very weak. "We'll sail the ship in now," he whispered hoarsely to Jim. As Jim was sailing the ship into the inlet, a sudden noise made him turn. Hans was behind him, his knife in hand, ready to strike him. He lunged at Jim, but Jim nimbly leapt from one side, and Hans hit his chest on the tiller, which winded him for a few seconds. Jim quickly took out his pistols. He aimed and tried to fire them, but there was only a dull click. He had forgotten to load them. Hans threw himself at Jim again, and Jim dodged behind a mast. Hans chased him round a ship, but Jim was too quick for him. Suddenly, the ship tilted, and Jim and Hans were thrown on the deck. Jim leapt to his feet. He had to find a new way of escape. He sprang up the mast ropes, but Hans slowly hauled himself up after him. Terrified, Jim loaded the pistols. "Come no further, or I'll shoot," he cried. Suddenly, Hans threw the dagger, and it pinned Jim's shoulder to the mast. As Jim cried out with pain, the pistols went off. Hans screamed and fell into the sea. Jim clung to the mast. His shoulder was very painful. Bravely, he pulled the dagger out and climbed shakily back down to the deck. He slipped overboard into the shallow water and waded ashore. "Now the ship is ready for the captain again," he thought happily. He set off across the island towards the stockade to look for his friends. As he came near the house, he could see the glow of a big fire. He crept into the house. No one was on watch and Jim could not see in the dark.
"Pieces of eight!"
a shrill voice suddenly called out. It was Long John's parrot.
"Who's there?"
called Long John. Jim turned to run, but someone grabbed him and held up a light.
"Look who it is," said Long John.
"You'll have to join us now. Your friends have given you up and gone away. Or would you rather die?" "Well, I don't have much choice," said Jim bravely, "but if you will spare me, I will help you when you return to England and tried for piracy." Snarling, one of the pirates drew his knife and sprang at him, but Long John stopped him.
"I give the orders around here," he said.
The pirate stepped back and the others gathered round him.
"Let's go outside," said one, and they went out, muttering angrily. "I'm in trouble," Long John whispered to Jim. "The ship has gone, but at least the doctor gave me the chart."
Jim was astonished. The pirates came back. One of them stepped forward.
"We want a new leader," he said.
Long John said nothing but held up the chart. The pirates whooped joyfully. They had not known about the chart. They passed it round, shouting,
"We'll be rich after all!"
Next day, Dr. Livesey walked into the stockade. He had come to tend to the wounded pirates. He was very surprised to see Jim. Jim apologised to him for deserting his friends and told him where the ship was.
"Don't worry," said the doctor. "We'll save you."
Then he went over to Long John. "There'll be trouble when you look for the treasure," he said. "Take care of Jim and shout if you need help." When the doctor had gone, the pirates set off to look for the treasure. They were all heavily armed and carried picks and shovels. The chart said that the treasure was buried beneath a tall tree on Mizzenmast Hill. As the pirates climbed the hill, they argued about which tree it could be. Suddenly, one of the pirates yelled. The others ran over to him. There, at the foot of a tree, lay a human skeleton which was pointing up towards the top of the hill. The pirates stared at it in silence. Then they heard a strange, high voice.
15 men on the dead man's chest, it sang.
The pirates were terrified.
It's Flint's ghost, they gasped.
It's only someone trying to scare us, Long John said calmly. The pirates struggled up onto the hill. At last they saw a tall tree in front of them. They charged towards it, then stopped in their tracks. A huge hole had been dug at the foot of the tree. Someone had got there before the pirates, and all the treasure had gone. Long John secretly gave Jim a pistol.
Stand by for trouble, he whispered. He's always changing sides, thought Jim.
The pirates jumped into the hole and began digging. One of them held up a coin.
Did we come all this way just for this? He roared.
He climbed out of the hole.
Down with Long John, he cried.
Suddenly, shots rung out from the bushes, and two of the pirates dropped dead. The next minute, Dr. Livesey and Ben Gunn rushed into the clearing, their guns smoking. The three pirates, still alive, ran away.
Quick, cried the doctor. We must head them off before they reach the boats.
They charged down the hill with Long John hobbling along behind them. They reached the beach before the pirates, knocked a hole in one boat and pushed another out to sea. As they rowed into the ship, Dr. Livesey told Jim that when Ben Gunn was alone on the island, he had found the treasure. He had dug it up and taken it to his cave.
When I saw the ship had gone, said Dr. Livesey, I led our friends to Ben's cave. I heard Silver's plans to find the treasure and came to rescue you.
They left one man on board to the ship to guard it, then headed for Ben's cave. It was enormous. Great heaps of coins and gold bars glinted in the firelight. The squire and the captain were very pleased to see Jim safe. That night they and the loyal sailors had a huge feast to celebrate finding Captain Flint's treasure. Next day, they loaded the treasure onto the ship. Then they sailed away with Ben and Long John, leaving the three pirates on the island. Soon they reached South America and hired a new crew. Here Long John escaped with a sack of gold. He knew he would be hanged for piracy if he went back to England. The squire and the doctor sailed home and gave Jim some of the gold. He never forgot his adventure on Treasure Island. Treasure Island was written by Robert Louis Stevenson. It first appeared in a children's magazine called Young Folks and was then published as a book in 1883. It has since become a children's classic. Treasure Island is an exciting story about bloodthirsty buccaneers. The novel follows the adventures of a brave boy called Jim Hawkins, who time and time again outwits the cunning Long John Silver and his band of ruthless pirates in the search for buried gold. Robert Louis Stevenson, 1850 to 1894, was born in Edinburgh and studied both engineering and law before taking up writing.
He wrote many essays, stories, and descriptions of his travels, such as Travels with a Donkey and Treasure Island. Indeed, Treasure Island was his first novel, and this was followed by other adventure stories, such as Kidnapped and The Master, Olive Ballantrae.